Who shall we boast? Happy Sabbath, everyone. How's everyone doing today? Good? Good to see you guys. I wanted to share this today's message. It's one that, as a pastor, you don't think I boast, but I do boast. I love my churches. I boast about my churches, the blessings that I get. But I also learned my lesson about boasting, and I wanted to share it with y'all. Because sometimes boasting can get you into trouble. So I wanted to share that with y'all this afternoon, or this morning, I should say. Is it not? Oh, okay, there you go. Thanks. I'll stay behind the pulpit today. All right. Sometimes it's not easy for me to stay behind the pulpit. Let me just get my Bible. Jeremiah 9:24, we just read, and I just want to kind of give it a little bit of, read it again, just to kind of let it sink into our minds and our hearts. He says here in Jeremiah 9:24, it says, "But let the one who boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord." Let us pray. Father, as we open up your word, as we open up this message that you are speaking to us in our hearts, I pray that we're able to accept it, that we're able to learn from it, and be able to share it with others, that we may be able to put it into practice into our lives. May the words I speak not be mine, but yours, Father. We love you and we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. So clearly, Jeremiah, a prophet of God, shares this message with, with the Israelites. The Israelites for many years have been struggling in many ways when it comes to who they want to worship. And so God is basically casting judgment on them, and he's casting judgment recognizing their faults and what they've done to not be on, I guess you could say, God's favor almost, or losing God's favor. But I wanted to share a story before I talk a little bit about that. I wanted to share a story in regards to Hezekiah. Everybody knows who Hezekiah is. He was a king of Israel. And here in the book of 2 Kings, Hezekiah has an interesting situation that happens to him. You know, he was sick. In chapter 20, he was sick, out of his mind. And so God heals him, even though he was to die. God heals him as Hezekiah pleads with him. Now, he was sick because him and Isaiah had a little fallout. And so in order for them to kind of come back together, as a prophet and a king should do, God allows Hezekiah to be sick. He casts down a sickness on him. And so then Hezekiah comes and Isaiah comes. Isaiah says, God gives Isaiah orders to go and visit Hezekiah, and that's how kind of like they unite. And so Hezekiah must be ecstatic because he's, you know, his life is back to normal. And it says here in chapter 20, verse 12, that representatives from Babylonia, or the kingdom of Babylon, came to see him and bring him gifts, letters, and you know, because they had heard of his illness. And so Hezekiah received the envoys and showed him all that was in the storehouse, the silver, the gold, the spices, and the fine olive oil, his armory, everything found among his treasures. There was nothing in his palace or in his kingdom that Hezekiah did not show them. So basically, what Hezekiah did was, what do you think? Boast. He bragged. You know, and today in society, It is something that, bless you, it is something that we do sometimes without even noticing that we're doing it. Boasting gone wrong. I know, for example, for me, I have boasted before and it's gone really wrong for me afterwards. A perfect example is recently I had played a little bit of pickleball with LaWayne. It was my wife and I, LaWayne, and Ed. And I was bragging that we were going to beat them, right? You know, we were younger and quicker, supposedly. But everybody here is looking at me like, that's the wrong thing to do, Pastor, with Ed on the court. But let me tell you something. The all-star of that game was not just Ed. It was definitely LaWayne. I don't know what happened to LaWayne. LaWayne just caught fire, and he destroyed us. He destroyed us. I was astonished. Like, LaWayne, now you play good with Ed on the court. I see how it is. And he just destroyed us. And I learned my lesson through that. I thought I would learn my lesson. And then I had my son come that same week. He arrived and he wanted to play a game of basketball. He had just come from, you know, they got second place in the tournament and all this other stuff. And he's like, Dad, get ready. I'm going to school you, whatever. And I was like, no, you get ready. I'm going to school you. I'm going to show you. And, you know, I beat him the first games that we played. And then he's like, oh, Dad, you're just lucky, whatever, whatever. And I just kept bragging about the fact that I beat him. I said, you just got beat by a 42-year-old man, and you're only 16. And all I could do is keep bragging and bragging. And then I sent him a video. I had one of his friends do a video as we were playing. And I said, look at this 42-year-old man. I'm showing him a video. I'm just bragging. He's like, Dad, let's play before I leave again, you know. And I guess I turned on this fire in him. Man, when I played him, he didn't even let me touch the ball. He scored, and he kept scoring and scoring and scoring. He's like, why don't you catch that on video, Dad? Oh, I thought you was good. And he was just like bragging all the time. But he did what he had to do. He took me out. And then I wanted to play him so bad again. And he was like, nah, I'm good, Dad. You know, he didn't even want to play me back. He beat me so bad. And that's what happens. We, you know, when we brag, when we boast, you know, a lot of times that comes back to bite us, my friends. It does come back to bite us, you know. And so we have social media, right, that I see that a lot of times, you know, we try not to maybe we don't do it intentionally. Maybe we don't know. But sometimes I feel that we use social media to brag, to hey, I did this and I did that. And I see that happens a lot. As a matter of fact, they did an actual poll. And in this poll, you can see that the top one here, you can't see because it's a little bit off page there, but 49% of boasting on social media is done from what? Accomplishments, my friends, accomplishments. Only 11% is done for religious beliefs. But the number one is accomplishments. And then you have family. I would love to boast about my family, right? Emotions and feelings and dating life, etc. But accomplishments is like the number one reason people post things on social media. And it's a new thing. It's a new wave. Influencers do it all the time. You have all these influencers say, look at my car. Look at this. And you can have it too. And believe in yourself. And this is the society that we live in, that we have to show others who we are or what we're about or what our latest accomplishment is. And so this is something that we need to be careful, because again, it says in Jeremiah 9:23, it says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in this earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. And so Hezekiah had this big problem. As I was studying a little bit more about Hezekiah, he had some great accomplishments. As a matter of fact, he was one of the better kings of Israel, according to many of the scholars and even the people themselves. He was not a bad, per se, person. He did good things for Israel. He restored and did reforming in regards to idolatry. He did wondrous things with the, for those that have been to Israel, right? The tunnel, the Hezekiah tunnel for water to go through, you know, Jerusalem. I mean, he's done so many wonderful things. As a matter of fact, he's surrendered his heart many times to God, especially when something didn't go his way. He was ready and able, like humbled himself at times. But I honestly believe that he did this a lot of times because God was giving him the opportunity to stop bragging. He had something in his heart that continued to be braggalicious, if that's the word. Okay? He couldn't help to boast about Israel's what treasure that he felt in some way, somehow, he had acquired with his reign. And we know this because as I was reading here, he basically showed Babylon, thinking that Babylon will never come down and take care of business against them. He figured that, oh, let me show them what I acquired. Let me show them our kingdom. My friends, we need to be careful to not be Hezekiah's. Yes, the Lord blesses us. Yes, the Lord is willing to give us things to so that we can help others and to live good and all that. But we must be careful not to have a spirit of boasting. Boasting does not mean that it only comes in one form and it's just speaking out loud of what you have. Boasting, you could also have the attitude of boasting. Thinking that we are better than others because I have XYZ, or because I'm in a status, or because I've accomplished, you know, I have higher education, or whatever the situation is, we can act also very boastful. I don't know exactly what was in his mind by him showing the treasures. I don't know what inspired him to show all these treasures, but there's one thing that is for sure. Isaiah was not too happy about the situation. And so then Isaiah the prophet in verse 14 says, then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and asked, what did these men say and where did they come from? And he states, from a distant land, Hezekiah replied. They came from Babylon. And the prophet asked, what did they see in your palace? And what was his response? They saw everything in my palace, Hezekiah said. There is nothing among my treasures that I did not show them. And it was a very interesting reply that Isaiah had. You know, I'm pretty sure in his mind he was like, you fool, what did you do? Right? And so he said, then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. It's not coming just from Isaiah himself as far as like his own mind calling him a fool or anything like that. This is the words of the Lord. He says, the time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your predecessors have stored up until this day will be carried off to whom? To Babylon. Will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. And some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood who will be born to you, will be taken away and they will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. And if you hear this news, this is some serious devastating news, because what basically Isaiah's telling him here is that one day all this will be gone, and what will be about Israel, what will be the riches, or what would happen with Israel, right? Like, not my descendants won't be able to be kings and et cetera, blah, blah, blah. And so in our minds, we would say, wow, man, this is something serious. I mean, God is very strong in this. But instead, look what happened. Look where Hezekiah's mind is as Isaiah gave him these words. So it says here, the word of the Lord you have spoken is good. How is that good? You just kind of pretty much ended your reign, your everything that you've acquired or whatever it was. He says, but this is what he says. The word of the Lord you have spoken is good. Hezekiah replied, for he thought, this is Hezekiah thought, will there not be peace and security in my lifetime? Who was Hezekiah thinking of in this particular moment? Was he thinking about Israel? Was he thinking about his descendants? No, he was thinking about himself, my friends. He acquired so much and he was thinking about himself. Now, this is what, again, happens when you have this attitude, when sometimes we have this attitude of being boastful. We have to be careful that we don't fall into this trap where we are blinded even when things come to us and God has given us an opportunity to surrender ourselves to him, to his will. It is something that a lot of times as Christians we struggle with, the balancing of these two things. And so as I was studying this, you know, I was actually reading in one of the Jewish commentators that they had in their time. I was actually reading that the reason why God had this, you know, declared this statement to Hezekiah about his future is because when he actually showed the treasure, he actually showed also, remember he says he showed everything, he had also showed the Ark of the Covenant. And in showing the Ark of the Covenant, he says that he opened the doors and he showed the Ten Commandments. And in showing the Ten Commandments, listen to this, in showing the Ten Commandments, he said, pertaining to the Ark of the Covenant and the Ten Commandments and Aaron's rod and all that, it is because of this we have victory. Saying that it is the Ark of the Covenant, the reason why they've won the wars that they had, the protection that they had. He didn't give glory to who? He didn't give glory to God. He made something that was material or whatever it was or whatever that he believed in, he thought that this was the reason why. He relied on his riches, on his materialism. And I just thought that was fascinating. Because a lot of times we say, oh, this is why I am, you know, I'm living pretty good right now. I had my 401k and I'm doing pretty good. You know, my investments went well, you know, or this is why I acquired this, you know. I was this and I did these moves. And we believe that a lot of times the things that we do and the blessings that we receive is because of I did this and I did that. And we become boastful. We become boastful by our attitudes. Sometimes we don't even have to say that. We just think it and we act that way. And so it's something that we need to kind of take into consideration, knowing that nothing under the sun, right, is just because we have it, just because we put our... Yes, I'm not going to say that, you know, sometimes we do work hard for certain things. I work hard for my bachelor's degree, you know, and I did study. But you know who gave me life to do that? God gave me life to do that. He made it possible for me to get through school, right? And so I can't forget those things. And Hezekiah here easily forgot that the same God that... Or the reasons that he had those treasures was the same God that gave him life, that gave him an opportunity to live and live in abundance. And here he is. He just like messed it all up for his people. I don't want to leave you here with that type of message today of just kind of like not being able to see what exactly boasting is so negative to a certain extent. Boasting is negative when the focus is on whom? Is on me. That's just plain and simple. Because we're not giving credit where credit's due. And so I have 7 ways to boast well. 7 ways to boast well that I want to share with you today. Because there is something good that we can get out of this. Especially out of the story of Hezekiah and what Jeremiah said. Because as we know, or maybe you don't know, but you know, Jeremiah repeating the same thing. This is basically, they were going to be surrendered to Babylon eventually. And so God was preparing the people for their hearts to see if they would repent of their ignorance, of their arrogance. So there are seven ways to boast, but boast well. Okay? Number one is boast in the cross of Christ. Someone can read for me Galatians 6:14. I apologize because I had it here on the screen, but it erased. Galatians 6:14. If someone can turn to Galatians 6:14, what does it state there? What does it say there in regards? What did Paul say to his people there about boasting? Wow. So we boast in the cross in regards to what Christ has done for us, right? And that is the best boast that you can do if we were talking about boast and boasting well. That is number one on the list. Number two on the list is glorify God both online and offline, okay? Boast about glorify God both online and offline. Psalms 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." And so this means that we need to make sure that whether I'm in front of a person or whether I am thinking to myself offline or online and offline, whether I'm in front of many people or just one or two, the words that come out of my mouth should meditate always on something that is acceptable to God's sight. Meaning that we have to be very wise and choose our words wisely because they represent who? God. They represent Jesus, our Redeemer. Who's our Redeemer? Jesus. And so we definitely need to be careful on how we do that. And so whether we're in front of people or not in front of people, whatever it is, we need to make sure that our words in our mouth meditate on that. The other one is number three, have a humble heart or have a humble and teachable heart. This is something that I've struggled sometimes with, to humble myself and be teachable, even though I may think I know more, not always, right? And so I have to be careful. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is what? Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so we can definitely be thrown off by our own hearts and say, I know more than this guy. This guy don't know anything. It's happened to me over and over again because of time. I would love to give you illustrations on this, but the reality is that I've experienced, and I think we've all at times been humbled because we thought we knew and we really didn't know. And the point here is to be teachable. Unfortunately, God was trying to teach Hezekiah, you know, certain lessons about being humble. And instead, we over and over again, he was what? He just seemed to, you know, he'll have a moment and then go back to old Hezekiah. My friends, my brothers, God calls us to strive. And to strive means that we want to be like Christ. And so we cannot have a heart that is boastful and to ourselves. We have to allow ourselves to be teachable at heart. Number four, boast in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know, this again, this is recognizing that we are not perfect, right? We're not perfect. Now, it doesn't mean that we can't strive for perfection, right? But we have to understand that when we fall, we shouldn't be prideful and say, well, you know, I fell because of her. I fell because, you know, the system. I fell because of this. No, we have to realize that God's grace is sufficient, and I don't have to do that. I don't have to make excuses a lot of times and blame others. And wherever I am weak, I should look for God for strength. Sometimes this is for a pastor who sometimes tries to be Superman a lot of times and think that my job is to save everybody, I have to be humble. I have to know that I am not. I am just a human being just like everyone else, and I cannot save anybody. The only one that does the saving is Christ Jesus. And so I can help you, but I cannot save you. You know, a lot of times also as leaders of our, as church leaders, we do the same thing. And so we have to count on the power of Christ to rest upon us for that, that grace can be sufficient for all of us. You know, we cannot take away what God has, you know, already has given us there with his grace. Number five. Build others up and let others build us up. We have to learn how to build others up and let others build us up. This is something that sometimes is hard for us to do if we're very boastful, right? 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness.'" And then we have also 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing." Number six is keep in mind and heart on Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing." It is important to continue to have that mindset and whatnot. So we also have Philippians, I think that crossed me there. Philippians 2, 6, and 7. Let's go to Philippians 2, 6, and 7. I apologize about that. I think one of my slides started going over the other one. Philippians 2, 6, and 7 says the following. "Who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness." And so we have to keep the mind of Jesus to know that we are servants. If Jesus was a servant, then we also become servants of each other. That's sometimes hard to do as well when we are being boastful for ourselves. Number seven and the last one says, "Please God and not others, and give praise to God in all things." Galatians 1:10 says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." And so whenever we boast, we shouldn't do it because we're trying to please others, please men. Again, as a pastor sometimes, well, actually not even a pastor, just my part of my personality is I like to please people. Like, I like to please others. That is one of my biggest weaknesses because sometimes that gets me into trouble, not only with my wife, but with God. And so I have to be careful that you have to ask yourself, why am I doing this? Why am I boasting? Or why am I, you know, like, why am I not being humble at this moment? Is it because I want to look good in front of man? Right? Is it because I want to look good in front of others? Or is it because I'm exalting God's name? I'm living, you know, I'm showing that I'm a bondservant to Christ. I am a servant of Christ. Right? And so we have to be very careful of that. Matthew 25:23 says, "His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" And so a faithful servant enters into the joy of the Lord. And so when we boast, we give this you know, we're letting people know that we are lifting God up and not ourselves. Okay. We're pleasing always God. And then if we want to give praise to God for all things, Galatians 1:10, James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." And so we have reasons, right, to give praise to God for all the things, whether we think is the smallest or the largest or the biggest. And Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change at all." Psalms 34:3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." It is something that we should always look forward to. So even as a church, You know, if we were to boast, we boast whom? God together. We always lift up Christ. It is what we should do. And unfortunately for Hezekiah, it was a struggle for him. Every single time that something had occurred and he tried his very best and it looked good. And then he imagined himself, oh, this looks good. This makes me be a good king. I must be a good king because, you know, I'm doing good. And he just pat himself on the back, you know, and make himself be thought out as a great king. It reminds me of just recently we had a basketball player. Speaking of basketball, I'm a big fan of basketball. And we had recently a record broken in basketball of the most points by a player named LeBron James. Maybe you've heard of him. He's been on the news for various things, not just scoring and all that. He's done schools. He's an activist and so many other things. President Trump called him out one time. It was just, you know, back and forth thing. But one of the reasons why this is such a big deal is because a lot of people say, well, he has to, because he's the greatest scorer of all time, or he has the most points, he has to be the greatest player of all time. And for those that grew up in the Michael Jordan era, or maybe even the Larry Bird era, or maybe Wilt Chamberlain or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you know, these other greats, or Jerry West, you know, we're like, well, no, we're not buying that, you know? And so online, there has been this incredible debate, you know, why he's the greatest or why he's not the greatest versus the big debate is between him and Jordan, per se. And so, you know, it's just funny because, you know, you do the comparisons, the accolades, and Jordan just seems to always have the edge. Yes, he does not have the most points, but it was... not just Jordan and his points, right? It was the fact that he knew how to be a winner. Like, it was his championships. It was his demeanor. It was the way that he managed himself professionally. It was so many things that was attributed to the fact that he changed the game in different ways. And so when it comes to comparing these two individuals, the reason why a lot of individuals that, you know, is adamant about Jordan being the great is because overall, Jordan never said to himself that he was the greatest. People called him to be the greatest. He himself in an interview has stated, you know, I have no reason to call myself the greatest. It wouldn't be fair to the other people that played in other eras and they were also great. Yet LeBron James, unfortunately, took it upon himself after winning one championship, okay, to call himself the greatest. This, he quote said, this made me the greatest of all time. And I think that was the part where it just kind of like, you know, he boasted himself. Like, we understand that was a great championship. He came back and won the series. He was losing down. He was down 3-1 and he came back and, you know, carried his team on his back and, you know, they were able to win. But that statement there, after he won, was what really killed everything. Killed his shot for people to actually say that he's the greatest. Even those that grew up in the Michael Jordan era. You know, it was just like, nah, we're not believing that. And my friends, the reason I bring that is because Nike did an actual commercial on LeBron James. It was a very blasphemous commercial. In this commercial, and I don't show it because I think that's how blasphemous I think it is. In this commercial, there's a preacher. There's a black preacher preaching in the back. And he's quoting certain things that are all in character, not with LeBron James, but with Christ. Calling him the king. Calling him the chosen one. Calling him, you know, the one that many will flock and witness to. And as this preacher is saying this, they're showing pictures of LeBron and him being, you know, they have all these different imageries and stuff like that. And I said, man, that is the most blasphemous thing that you could ever do, is use the word of God, a man preaching of who Jesus is, to this one man. And I'm not taking away from LeBron James. He's done good things, but it doesn't compare to what my Jesus has done for you and I today. And so it is Christ that we need to lift up. These are the challenges that we are facing in society. People are being confused that good is just good enough and that you don't need Christ in your life. That it's okay to receive exaltation, to be exalted among the masses. The only one that deserves to be exalted over the masses is Christ and Christ alone. Let us not be fooled by these ads and this culture of, you know, exalting oneself. That is why in Jeremiah 23:24 says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Let us not falter like Hezekiah and get it twisted. Just because God has his mercy over us and grace, that we are blessed in many ways that many other people are not, let that not blind us to who gave us the blessings as we continue moving forward in our Christian walk. God is going to basically come for a people that have patience, that keep his commandments, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Let us remember that. Those that are faithful and true to the end, to not ourselves, not to a president or a political movement or anything like that, but to Christ and Christ alone. Let us pray. God, we thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to come to your house of worship and understand that you are the only one to be exalted, that you are the only one to be worshipped. While Satan is out there trying to deceive us in different ways, we ask you, Father, that we may not fall into temptation, but that we may rely on your strength, that we may rely on your word and your promises. Father, we know that what's to come is going to be tough. It's going to be a tough road ahead of us. But may we not falter, may we not fall, and if we do, may we understand that we have an advocate that is willing to lift us up and to carry us through, to continue to walk in the light as you ask us to do. Father, show us your ways. May you continue to bless our homes and bless everything that we have, not for our glory, but for yours. If it is your will, Father, I pray for our friends that are not here today, that you may also be able to reach to them and let them know that you are there with them. I pray for those that are sick. I pray for those that are sick spiritually as well. Father, we all need more of you, more of Jesus, and less of this world. May our eyes continue to be fixed on you until that day where the heavens roll up and we're able to see our Savior, our Redeemer, our Rock, our Fortress, our everything. I can't wait for that day, and I know our church, my church here, Brewster Church, can't wait for it either. So I just pray that you continue to bless us and show us your way. In the name of Jesus, amen. My friends, I wanted to invite you to tonight. It was kind of a last-minute thing. I have a special guest, a friend of mine, that he's actually preaching this week at the Spanish church. I have to run really quickly. I apologize. I cannot say hello to everyone. But I have to go and baptize two individuals or candidates. And so, he is going to come here tonight to have sunset worship. And so I invite you, come and hear the message. It's actually, you know, we were talking about it, and I think it's something that our church definitely needs to hear. May God bless you and have an awesome Sabbath. Let us stand for our closing hymn, please.
Remind you that I still have some of these memory verses if you'd like one. And someone had asked me for the lists of these verses, so I did copy them. And if you would like one, the first one was the putting God's word in our hearts. There's a list there, and the second one is the second coming list. So let us stand and sing to our Lord Jesus.
Redeemed now, our love to proclaim it, redeemed. by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed now, I love to proclaim it, His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer, I think of Him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent, He's the theme of my song. Redeem, redeem, redeem by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem now, I love to proclaim it, His child and forever I am. I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps, giveth me song in the night. Redeem, redeem, redeem by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem now, I love to proclaim it, His child and forever I am.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are very grateful for the redemption that You offer, for the salvation that comes through knowing You and accepting You. May You be lifted up in our lives. May others see Christ in us and not us, that You may be praised. We pray this.